Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast. So if you have a philosophical understanding and there's a choice in the matter, and you believe your body to be brilliant mm-hmm. and to be smart and doing the right thing at the right time. And some people will challenge that and say, well, what about a fever? Remember, a fever is doing the right thing at the right time too. Mm-hmm. What about vomiting? Well, that's doing the right thing at the right time too. It may not be pleasant. There's a difference between if it's doing the right thing and if it's pleasant or not. The body is constantly doing the right thing. What about autoimmunity? Well, remember, the body is reacting to something that caused the immune system to turn on itself and attack itself. Still doing the right thing, there was an interference somewhere. And the amazing thing about autoimmunity is when you get curious about your autoimmunity, you tend to uncover some missing links that will then help you get better. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen autoimmunity issues turn around? It's insane. And so we can debate philosophically whether the body's always doing the right thing at the right time at another time. But just let's start with that assumption that mm-hmm. it is. That the body is smart. You cut your leg and it heals. Then, okay, why is it one person gets sick and one person doesn't? Why is it that one person get exposed to the same virus, has a very different response and reaction to their neighbor or their friend or even their loved one, somebody even lives in the same household as them? Well, there's a reason for that. It's because your immune system is designed to react, and your immune system can be built up over time mm-hmm. to get strong and healthy, and what you do does matter.
Yeah.
Take one example. Take a person who is going through cancer treatments, okay? We all know cancer patients are more susceptible to viruses and bacteria and problems. Why? Because their immune system has been tanked, mm-hmm. right? So if a cancer patient's immune system can be tanked by the chemotherapy, by the substance that they're putting into their body, think about what you're doing on a day in and day out basis that can lower your immune system, that can tank your body. And it's not the onslaught of poison like chemotherapy. It's the daily dose that is the biggest problem. Mm-hmm. Some of those daily doses are not just, you know, not chemotherapy, but it's the daily dose of things that cause your body to become inflamed, cause yeah. your body to react poorly. Like one of the biggest substances that you know what I'm about to say that everyone eats on a day in and day out basis or drinks is what?
Sugar,
right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talk about it, but it's addictive and people think that they probably don't eat or drink as much as they really do. But if you really want to build a strong immune system, your sugar is your enemy to that.
Yeah. And think about it this way. If you were to drink a jug of poison, you would pretty much die on the spot, right? That's an immediate death. Mm-hmm. Well, what if we scale that back and you are ingesting a low level of poison of toxins on a daily basis with your daily habits. Mm-hmm. You're not going to die immediately on the spot, but it is a slow, prolonged death. That's not an exaggeration. So when it comes to sugar, when it comes to the things you put in your body, if you're wanting to build your immune system, especially if you're already compromised, if you already have underlying diseases, if you have comorbidities, then sugar is absolutely the first thing that you cut out of your diet.
Yeah. And when you say comorbidities, I know that was a more common word in the last 18 months, but the biggest one is actually being overweight and obese. Mm-hmm. And if you're wanting to lose weight, if you're overweight and you're desiring weight loss, sugar is your enemy to that.
Absolutely.
It's going to keep you in that sugar burning mode and not fat burning. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of good reasons to just completely eliminate sugar from your diet. Some people want that tangible, that thing that they can see, the scale that looks different or the body that looks different, you know, when they look in the mirror. And sugar will absolutely keep you heavy. Mm. Sugar is not just coming from the drinks and the candy, though.
Right. A lot of people will say, well, I don't eat candy. I don't eat donuts right. or cookies.
Right.
I don't eat sugar.
Right. But think about this. Bread, grains in general turn mm-hmm. to sugar. You think about the rices, the pastas, and all these things, your body is converting that to glucose, to energy. Mm-hmm. You know, think about marathon runners. They have this big, they carb load the night before. You know, they don't do that. The really good ones don't do that anymore, just so you know. But the thought was that they could have storage of glycogen so that they could use that storage of glycogen during the race. Mm-hmm. Well, how many people are carb loading for no event? Right. and they go to their work and they sit and they, mm-hmm. and it's again the next day and again the next day. You've got to deplete your glycogen storage. What does that mean? That means you have to use that stored glucose and use that. And then your body can start using other sources of fuel. And when you do that, your body starts to turn on hormonally things that will help you burn fat long term, mm-hmm. and tells your brain that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Think about our ancestors. Our ancestors never just loaded up and loaded up and loaded up for no event to happen, mm-hmm. right? They would go and they'd hunt and they'd gather and they'd look for, and they'd also have times of fasting. There'd mm-hmm. be famines. There'd be times of feasting, right? There'd be times of that. And then there would be droughts. There'd be times when the animals were not plentiful. Mm-hmm. And so there'd be famines. And so they had this cyclical thing that would happen there of feast and famine. Well, we actually need that hormonally. We need times of feast and famine. And so for some people, intermittent fasting, so going times without food and doing that on purpose, will help to create a healthy dynamic or relationship with food in general, and will help your body kickstart hormonally with mm-hmm. leptin and ghrelin and some of these hormones that will help your body actually burn fat. And it creates that hormonal switch, which is awesome, which will have a lifetime benefit if you keep doing that. And you can keep doing intermittent fasting. You can do for indefinitely. And what intermittent fasting is, there's different versions of this, but just to simplify this, it's times without food. Mm-hmm. So it's skipping dinner, or it's skipping breakfast, or it's in general, there's a 16-8 window where you go 16 hours a day without food, and then you have mm-hmm. an 8-hour window with food.
Yeah.
Or you can do a 6-hour window with food. It's mm-hmm. up to you. But that will help hormonally flip that switch. And then during that window of eating, guess what you don't consume? Sugar. Right?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, but it's mm-hmm. something that is, we just have such a unhealthy relationship with food in this mm-hmm. country, and we wonder why we're so sick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And intermittent fasting it's easier than it sounds, because you can count, if you sleep 8 hours a night, you can count that as part of your 16 fasting hours.
Exactly.
So it's not a full entire 16-hour day without food.
Yeah, the easiest to do is just wait till lunch to eat, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people will say, "Well, I already do that. You know, I don't have hunger in the morning anyway, so I intermittent fast all the time." Dr. Nick, try eating in the morning and then not doing it at night. Try skipping dinner. So if you're a person who is like, "I naturally do that, and I'm mm-hmm. still overweight, I'm still struggling." Just watch what happens when you eat first thing, kind of force that apple first thing in the morning, and then don't eat dinner. And yes, you will have a couple of nights where it's a little bit of rough sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. It's not going to be the easiest thing in the world to turn your body around and flip that switch, that hormonal switch. But if you do that and give your body a chance, just watch what happens. Fat literally melts off of you, and you're building a strong immune system at the same time.
Yeah, it's a win-win, and it is a retraining process. I think that a lot of people need to have that mindset when they go into any time period when they're working on their health and they're changing their body. Healing takes time, and that's okay. That's yep. exactly what your body is supposed to do.
And there's this idea of metabolic confusion too, just to talk about this and touch on this, is it's good to throw your body a curveball every now and then. Okay. What I mean by that in baseball, there's a curveball, and it's a really good pitch because the batter doesn't know what's coming. It kind of looks the same, but it throws them off, right? Mm-hmm. Metabolic confusion works in the same way, where you change things up on a regular basis. Maybe it's quarterly, maybe it's seasonally, whatever that looks like for you, but doing the same thing all the time, your body will adapt to that, get very efficient at that. And it's great that your body's efficient. However, if it's super efficient, it's not going to need as much energy to do what it's doing. Mm. And mm-hmm. if it's not needing as much energy, it's not burning as many calories, and it's easier to gain weight over time. Mm-hmm. Throw your body a curveball. Do intermittent fasting. Eliminate sugar. Mm-hmm. It's these little things over time. Ultimately, we're not just talking about a scale or numbers on a scale. Mm-hmm. We're talking about your body functioning at its best. And when your body's functioning at its best, your immune system is not boosted. It's functioning optimally.
Yeah. And I love the word that you used, adapt, because to me, your body's ability to be healthy, your body's ability to even live, is solely dependent on how well it adapts to its environment. Mm. But if we are able to adapt to our environment, that is what allows us to live and thrive. If we are not, that's when we get sick and we get diseased and we're compromised. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at your health, it's not necessarily if you feel good or you look good, but we're looking at how well your body is able to function. And if your body is able to adapt to all of the external things, that's why we say that we have to look inside when it comes to health and immunity.